I'm Marco Werman, and you're with The World. Imagine you're one of those Guantanamo detainees President Obama was referring to yesterday when he announced the plan to close the detention center before he leaves office. You're released from the prison and then sent to a country you've never visited. You don't even speak the language, but you're so happy to be free that you take off your orange jumpsuit and fly it out the window of your new home like a flag. This actually happened about a year ago with a detainee sent to Montevideo, the capital of Uruguay, which made us ask, why are Guantanamo detainees going to Uruguay? Will Carlos is with our Global Post team. He covers Latin America. There have been some odd parts of the world, Will, that have taken in released Guantanamo prisoners, but apparently Uruguay has taken in a disproportionate number. What is going on there?
So little Uruguay decided about just over a year ago to take in six Guantanamo prisoners or former Guantanamo prisoners. It was big news. I mean, Uruguay is a tiny country, basically no Muslim population really to speak of. I don't recall ever seeing a mosque in Uruguay, and I lived in the capital Montevideo for 2 years. And yeah, this was huge news, and it happened actually right in the middle of the election cycle too. So it was very closely watched, and has been pretty closely watched ever since to see how these men have gotten on.
Jose Mujica, the leftist president of Uruguay, he was the one who essentially made this deal, I suppose, with the government in Washington. What was his motivation?
So there's a sort of a cold, skeptical, journalistic way of looking at this, which is to say that these countries basically make these deals to get a quid pro quo, to get something out of the U.S. government. And I think that's been true of many countries that have offered to take detainees in the past. When it comes to Uruguay, you've got a very interesting situation. Pepe Mujica was himself a political prisoner for 14 years, and he very much made this a personal campaign. He said that he wanted to get these men out, and I believe him. I mean, I believe that tack, and if you look at actually how this has unfolded, it's been pretty politically bruising for both Mujica himself and for his party. It's hard to see what Uruguay has kind of gotten in return for accepting these men. I guess that's the way to put it.
How much did these detainees know about Uruguay before they went there?
It's pretty clear that they knew pretty much next to nothing. I mean, there's a wonderful story that was just published in the Islamic Monthly by a friend of mine here in Rio, actually, Taylor Barnes. And it goes into a lot of the details. And some of the interesting details that she dug out was that the lawyers actually printed out sort of a New York Times article. You know, those articles, 36 hours in a city. They had an article, right? 36 hours in Montevideo. And one of the attorneys printed that out and gave it to them. So, I mean, these are guys who had basically no internet access, very little access to the outside world. Suddenly they're shackled, put on a plane, and then they arrive in the middle of the night in Montevideo Airport, and the next thing they know, they are free men in Uruguay. It was a pretty extraordinary story to kind of watch unfold.
So, Will, let's talk how these men have assimilated in Montevideo, because at first it seemed, at least the leftists anyway, followed President Mujica's cue and supported bringing them into Montevideo. But then all of a sudden, President Mujica turns against these guys. What happened?
Well, that's where this story really becomes sad and tragic, because what basically happened was that President Mujica very personally invites these men in. A few weeks after they arrive, he meets with them and he holds this very controversial press conference / interview where he talks about how they appear to have soft hands. They appear to be of a higher socioeconomic class. And what he really wanted was he wanted workers to come in. He wanted people who would be willing to sort of go out and work the fields. And he had this very romantic, idealist notion of who these men were. Now, these are men who've just spent 13 years in prison. They've been tortured. They've been psychologically tortured. They've gone through a whole lot of problems. Many of them had just gotten off hunger strike and were extremely weak. A couple of them still are suffering the ill effects of that. So you had this really tragic situation where the president sort of welcomes these men in, gives them a few weeks to assimilate. When they don't surprisingly immediately assimilate into his country, he turns around and starts essentially insulting them and saying, what's wrong with you guys? Why can't you go out and get a job?
They even married Uruguayan wives who converted to Islam, but those relationships apparently also suggest that the transition for these former detainees into normal Montevideo life has not been easy. What is their life like today?
Another tragic chapter of this story. So they yes, two of them married and were then both arrested on charges of domestic violence. I believe the charges were dropped against one of them, and I believe both of those marriages have now fallen apart. So I think that's testament to the sort of psychological problems that these men have had, the difficulty that they've had assimilating. I mean, it's difficult enough for refugees, for people moving to vastly different parts of the world. We see a lot of that in the world today with people leaving Syria and places like that. It's difficult enough for everyday folk to do that. So if you add into the mix the fact that you've just spent 13 years essentially in solitary confinement without charges being brought against you, with the immense psychological damage that these men have got, you can just imagine how difficult this transition has been.
Will Carlos with our Global Post team, thank you very much.
Thank you, Marco.